Welcome to the Pacific Novel Project Workshop. Steve and I are chugging along during the apocalypse, and we're alive so far, I think. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I was just ruminating on our pre-sidebar.
We sidebarred a lot of things, I guess.
We did, and that was before we even got serious with anything.
Well, those sexy pipes are Steve Childress, and I am workshopping his story, Hollywood Dreams. And I'm Jason Keith, and he is workshopping my story, The Ghost of Silver Creek, which I have been working on. Well, theoretically, I was working on it for the last month, but I think it's more like the last 4 days. And
right.
In the meantime, we've taken a little break from that, and I have an untitled project that from Nano that we've been going on. So if you want to know what the hell we're talking about, just check out our previous workshop episodes and you'll find them there. No problem. A couple more submissions, and then I'll be back on Ghost. I'll have some significant stuff to Ghost. Then we can go back to Ghost. Any thoughts about that?
No, it works for me. But I think this would be a great opportunity to do a sidebar.
What do you want a sidebar?
Well, I'm going to use you as an example.
Okay.
If anybody's planning on writing toward literary magazines, and if you're writing toward a literary magazine, they have a page limit. We have a page limit, but Jason broke it. He broke it by 7 pages. I mean,
I did.
If I round it, it's 30. It doesn't round down; it rounds up. I've done reading for Silk Road for Pacific University. If you don't abide by the page limit, they don't even read your stuff. They just toss it in the no pile.
I would like to note a couple things. Number one, I'd like to note, I think page limits are lame, and I think it's weird that our instructors there, you know, several of whom are published authors, they always had page limits. It should be word limits, especially, you know, me, like I like to do dialogue. I could do, like, dialogue would take up 2 pages.
Agreed.
So I hated the page limit. It should be word limits. Two, okay, it was over 20 pages. But it was like 23 pages in Microsoft Word, and it expanded for some reason when I put it in Google Docs.
It did.
And so hey, I don't know what the deal is there.
No, I mean, honestly, personally, I'm fine if you're a little over. I just thought it would be kind of cool to take a second to go, hey, if you're right, you know, little tip for our listeners, our one patron, whoever you may be.
Follow the submission guidelines or your stuff will get thrown out.
Yes. Jason and I are fast and loose, so there you have it.
I'm just loose.
Fair enough.
I did want to cut it. Like, when I saw how long it was, started going backwards, I was like, there's got to be a good place to stop. But it was like the middle of the whole thing was the middle of their escape from town. So I was kind of like, ugh, that'd be a weird place to drop the commercial.
Yeah, I got that when I was getting closer to the end and kind of going, when is this going to end? No, not. I wasn't like that. Actually, I enjoyed this this submission, this section.
Well, it is a shitty first draft.
It is. But it could have been worse. Could be better. Could have been worse. But that's why we do this.
Could have been a super shitty first draft.
It could have been. Hey, man. Who was it? Hemingway? Dude was kind of pretentious, but I mean, he was really good at what he did. His go-to saying was like, all first drafts are garbage.
I think anybody with experience says that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, dude was really good at what he did.
Drinking?
That amongst other things with words.
This is a long submission, so maybe we should get started.
We probably should, but I want to ask you a question and think about it.
Okay.
Think about it, and we'll come back to it at the end.
Okay.
If we were in a Smokey and a Bandit movie, who would be the bandit and who would be Snowman?
Of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're a duo. You know.
All right. I'll think about it.
Okay, cool. Okay, so last we left off, Dugan, Hardwin, and Piper getting ready to leave the House of Ill Repute through a secret passage. And they get led through this passage by, what was his name?
Dietrich?
Deidre?
Oh, Deidre. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Deidre is the madam, right?
Yeah, and Dietrich is like her.
Dietrich, that's it.
Man in waiting.
Yes. He's the dude with the lamp with the thing on the back to focus the light. So they get led up by Dietrich. I had a question off the bat, neither good nor bad. The entrance room near the passage, is this the same room as the passage in the floor?
Yeah, it's the same one they came in.
Okay. Effectively, wouldn't the entrance room be a lobby of sorts? It's not on the idea of changing anything, but yeah, just kind of that idea, because I think you said you were going to go back and like make that room a little different.
Yeah, I'm going to change that area.
Okay. I was trying to remember, so I thought I'd touch base with you on it before really digging into the rest of this. Yeah, and entrance room and passage really so close together don't do anything for me. It didn't, but that's okay. So Deidre kisses her nephew on the cheek and gives Hardwin a hug that includes a squeeze on his right buttock. She is a madam, so, you know, she has her wilds.
Her wilds. I think it's wiles.
Whatever. Wilds. And probably makes Hardwin blush a lot. A little bit further down on page 101, KUFO, Deidre seems to take great pleasure in her small, sly smile. Hang on, let me reread that. Deidre seems to take great pleasure in this, in her small, sly smile, but kept any comments she had to herself in respect for Hardwin Ardenson's. One second. Hardwin Ardenson's position and dignity. I might retract my statement because there is this small, sly smile.
What's your statement? Oh, that's showing, not telling? I mean,
telling, not showing, yeah. And I was just, I think some body language could really shine here. But maybe like some body language from Hardwin on the observation, if he notices, right?
Yeah.
Is he nervous? Is he off put by it? You know, I don't know.
Okay.
And then I think this is a word confusion, probably something to do with autocorrect.
Yeah.
The last part of this paragraph, then she pulled Deidre down to her own height and kissed her on the forehead in a similar blessing she had bestowed upon the men. And I was like, I thought the knight's oath and kisses on the forehead was going to be pushed to later in the book. We had talked about it one time, but
yeah. Well, this part was written before I decided that.
Okay. All right. Nothing else on the rest of this page. 102. Though no light came from the girl herself. This is when they're in the dark passage and no, it's dark everywhere. I think, Dietrich has the lamp that has the block on one side, so it focuses the light forward. Though no light came from the girl herself, she seems... That should be past tense. Missed that. Seemed to be a light to cast her own luminescence. Hardwin Ardenson was certain if they had no lantern, they would still find their way. I like this otherworldly representation of Piper that we get again. And her being a glowy girl. Her and... I think I'm getting early onset Alzheimer's.
Her and who?
The character from your other book. The elf.
Oh, yeah. She glows, too.
She glows, too. I was like, they should get together and hang out. They could be... What is that called? Binaries? The stars that... There's two of them. Binaries?
Yeah.
They could run around like binaries in a field. All right. Further down the page, just some little minor edits. 103. I didn't have anything on this page. I am looking forward to Short Southerner getting a name, though.
Yeah.
let's see. 104. Didn't have a lot on this page, but there's some more people that need names still, and I'm sure you'll get to that when it works out. Like fourth paragraph down on 104, how'd you get involved in all this? The punctuation didn't seem right, and I was just asking if it's a question or a statement.
Okay.
And also it needs it needs its closing quotation also.
Okay.
Down towards the bottom of the page, Dietrich slipped his fingers under the edge and pulled it up. It was a thin piece of stone mounted to a wooden frame atop a tightly coiled spring on each side. I thought that was a nice touch, the camouflage door. Nice touch to the secret passage. And we're on 105. After that, I had just a couple little minor edits down to the second to the last paragraph of the page. It was easy for a man to let such morbid thoughts into his mind in the dungeon-like places, in the light of the stars, the freshness of outdoors, the world. Hang on.
When you read it out loud, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'll let you fix that.
The outdoor, okay. Yeah.
But I did like the sentiment, though. Dungeon-like places, the freshness of the outdoors, where the world would bring a different hope. I was kind of like, there's probably a lot of peeps experiencing this right now with social distancing and lockdown. Extroverts finally get to be the odd ones. Okay, and this is what kind of made me wonder if Hardwin's a claustrophobic. Let's see here. Time went by and Dugan shifted restlessly and Hardwin Arnonson broke out in a sweat. The walls seemed closer and his clouded vision dimmed, even Piper's radiance. That's kind of, I was like, is he claustrophobic? Or is it just old man afflictions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is funny. I had to read this a couple times. The sounds of pipes filled the small enclave and Hardwin Arnonson's breathing returned to normal. First, when it was just pipes, I was like, do they have water pipes? And then I was like, oh, Piper's pipes. I was like, okay. Yeah. But again, that could be a thing of like, you know, just time between reads where that's not falling maybe like it should. But anyway, so further down 106, I had just a couple little minor edits, just a word change. And then down toward the bottom of 106, this highlighted goodie here just needs some attention. I'm not sure what it was trying to say, but it was a...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at the bottom, I was just wondering if this dialogue is intentional or if it was like misworded or if there's a word missing or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's all different tensed and stuff.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring your attention to it. 107. So this is when they're at the stables and there's no horses because the horses have been taken by the lovely southerner people in the order and probably, you know, the other order guys as well, since they've been dropped down a few pegs. But this is where they get they get a grappling hook and a rope and they climb up and out.
Yeah. Are we on page 107?
Yep. Yep. 107. Okay. And we get to spend a little bit of time with Darla, Dugan's cousin. Boy, this family really likes D names.
At this point, I just started going with...
Fair enough, man. Hey, nothing wrong with it. So I really didn't have a whole lot on this page, just a couple of little minor edits, changing a word or two, and then down at the bottom. Okay, so this is where they come to the realization that they have a good stretch of open land before they can even get to the tree line. So they're like, great, we're going to have to crawl it. Can you do that, Piper? And I like this. She looked at him like he asked her if she was a girl and proceeded to dive into the grass. Yeah, that kind of just so far with Piper, that was enough for me to kind of like, get an image of what her face probably looked like in that moment.
Okay.
Of just like, are you serious? You know, just kind of, yeah, that was enough for me to get an image of her face. So I thought that was cool. Okay. A little bit down 108. Had a few little minor edits. And then, let's see. Hardwin Arnonson clapped him on the shoulder and Dugan followed after Piper. It didn't take long for Dugan to catch Piper, and when he did, he took over setting the pace, which was a medium crawl. They would have liked to have gone slower, but they were in a hurry and dared not go faster. They couldn't waste time either. I totally struck out this, they couldn't waste time either, because I felt it was already said in the preceding sentence. So I just struck that out. And I did a little work with that sentence too. It was kind of rough.
You could have just highlighted that whole paragraph as garbage.
Yeah, I was going to. I mean, the whole paragraph, I wouldn't say the whole paragraph's garbage. It just needs some work in a few of the sentences. Bottom of 108. He looked up at the stars, peaceful guiding lights to sailors and landsmen alike, sentinels in the dark. I liked that bit about the stars. The language also had a good arrangement. I hate using the word flow because it's like, bleh.
Flow's okay.
I mean, I'd like to get down to like the nitty gritty and have like more like finite vocabulary to like really just say what beyond the word flow. But hey, as long as you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. All right. 109. Started off in the first paragraph, just a few minor edits. Is there going to be a dragon?
There is going to be a dragon. Why?
Oh, I was just looking at the, I don't know why I didn't highlight this, but it's when Hardwin's looking up at the sky and he's like wondering why like Dugan's stopping so much. And then he's like finding like some peace with the stars and like not being so doubtful of himself and the situation and just, you know, feeling stress. And then he sees like the stars just kind of black out in like a shape. Hardwin Ardenson turned away from the sky. He was reluctant to look at it again, and he kept his eyes averted. But he couldn't shake the last image he saw before doing so. Something bird-like in the blackness. It was the darkness, soaring through the sky like a great mountainous condor. He had no doubt whatever it was searching for them. So yeah, I was surprised by the large flying creature, since we haven't got a good look at it yet. I can't. It has no observer, so it exists in multiple states.
Yeah.
But Jason says it's a dragon. We shall see. I mean, I'm sure Jason knows, you know, better than anyone else since he wrote it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I thought was interesting was how Hardwin is like constantly sizing Dugan up as they go. And I think it's a good attribute for him to have, being an officer and an older knight of the order. Or, I mean, maybe he could just be a cantankerous old man, too. You know, I mean, maybe a little column A, a little column B. But I thought it was good for Hardwin's character to kind of be doing that with this younger man of the newer order.
Yeah, he knows him, but he doesn't know him that well.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a honeymoon phase going on. All right. 110. The ranger was 30 yards into the trees before he began to slow. Hardwin Ardenson couldn't tell if Dugan knew what he was doing when he made that dash, picking up and reading sign. I have no idea what reading sign is.
Looking for signs of passage and trail sign. And you never heard that in reference to like tracking in the woods and stuff?
Never heard that. I'm just not familiar with the phrase. But anyway, moving on.
I will give that attention.
Alrighty. All right. Little tiny microscopic edits to the bottom of the page of 110. That doubt you were feeling was caused by whatever that was out there. I know I felt it too. It's like it amplifies whatever your weakness is. And I thought that was interesting. And I'm definitely intrigued by that. I mean, because how do you fight something that affects you emotionally and mentally? You really got to have a lot of willpower. And you better roll a really good initiative. But yeah, I think that's going to make this creature, this dragon, even more interesting in later chapters when and if maybe they end up like being closer to it or having to fight it or something such as, I don't know. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. 111 didn't have a whole lot on this page. So they decide to stay in the forest since they didn't get any the horses that they were supposed to get. See, they would stay in the forest, sticking to hunting and animal trails, traveling at night and resting during the day. I thought it was a great plan, except for they didn't do it. I mean, they did the hunting and animal trails, but they didn't travel at night and rest during the day.
Yeah, all right, I'll look.
Yeah, just take a look at it. Let's see here. Yeah, so they spend the night sleeping on the ground, wrapped in their wool blankets with no fire, so they're cold camping. Let's see here. Hardwin Artisan felt as if he may as well have been on watch, as the ground seemed to have a multitude of rocks and divots that didn't seem to be there before he laid on it. And I like how it kind of gets into a little bit of the, he was still a man of considerable strength, but he was also one that retired to a comfortable bed every night for the last 8 years. And the last few days had exposed a weakness he hadn't realized was there. And I like this little bit of adversity here to kind of bring this home. It's definitely a very small part of this large upheaval of his whole entire life. Now he can't sleep. I feel bad for him. But hey, you know, he's on an adventure.
Old man.
Yeah, he's got to suck it up. Suck it up, Hardwin. All right. 112. Just little minor edits that I had on here. I didn't really have a whole lot on this page. See, the girl lay with half her face buried in her folded arms. As usual, despite her minimalist approach to dressing and refusal of footwear, she never seemed cold. In sleep, she appeared less a girl and more the woman she would be, as if somehow slumber revealed her true self. Her one exposed eye opened and caught him watching her. And I was like, whoa, whoa, creepy Hardwin, watching people sleep. But yeah, it just kind of made me laugh. He smiled back, and when she reached out to stroke the rough skin of his face, he fell asleep. So is this a Piper power, or is this just like circumstance?
It's kind of a Piper power. I think we've established that she has calming effects on people when she needs to.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at with it, too. I just thought I'd see if that was your intent or if I was reading something into it that wasn't there. But apparently, woohoo, we did good. Because we ended up both being on the same page on it, with, you know, writer, reader. So that's good. All right, little edits going down the page. All right. In the late afternoon, they paused by a stream that ran out from a crack in the base of a cliff at one... I don't know what's going on here.
Okay.
Yeah, it just... I think there's a word missing or a typo, something. So, yeah, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. It sounds like the rocks are eating.
It kind of does. If it was the Return to Oz, the rocks would be eating. All right, 114. Okay, so let's see here. So they're walking single file down a game trail, and Hardwin's kind of glancing back, looking for signs of pursuit. Doesn't seem to be any. All right, 115. Some minor little edits coming down to the second paragraph. Had a comment here. This was kind of funny. At one point, they watched a man wearing only thin leather shoes. He offered them a friendly hello as he jogged by. And so curious were the two men, Hardwin Artinson forgot to place his hands over Piper's eyes, who watched the man bounce by with raised eyebrows. That was funny. And I was just like, let's go streaking!
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a good moment of levity, too.
Yeah, you find out what he's doing later.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, I know they mentioned him to the guards that they run into outside the village. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was in
this part. Yeah, that's in this part. I'm not sure what he's doing other than what the guards tell us, though.
Yeah, he was training for a race.
That's it, yeah. And clothes weigh him down. Yeah, some people will use any excuse. Those nudists. They just always gotta like run around with their nudity. Hey, I applaud them for it, dude. Let your flag fly.
Free the bacon.
Free the bacon. Let's see, 116. Didn't have a whole lot on this page, just a few minor edits in the first paragraph. 117. Yeah, this is when they meet the guards back on 116 and goes into 117. Okay, so they're talking about Piper's lack of warm clothing. The captain of the guard, he's all, "Is that true, sweetheart?" The captain said, who should listen to your father?" I was kind of wondering, is that should who be you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And here's, depends on what you mean by strange, Dugan said. "We did see a naked man run by us this way a couple hours ago." One of the other guards laughed. "Yeah, that be old Wills," the captain said. "He training for the King's Cup next year, and he says clothes make him too heavy." "How about a woman carrying a staff or a walking stick? She might be accompanied by a man larger than us." So yeah, old Wills training for the race. Well, here's the thing though. Is he gonna try to race naked too?
Guess so. I don't know. That's his problem, not mine.
That is his problem, because that's all off-screen action. If you will. Let's see, a little further down. The two men of the order glanced at each other and Dugan shrugged. "No, Hardwin," Arnson said. "I think they're supposed to be the only woman I have seen have been with their family, but that's not much to go on." I highlighted this sentence because it just needs a little attention.
Yeah.
118, or maybe he was playing it close to the vest. He knows, and this sentence needs some attention too.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think there's just minor word issues. See, minor suggestion between the next before the next comment on 118. "Last time Hardwin Arnson had been here, there were stables on the east and north side of town, but they had no horses nor money for horses, so he didn't worry about locating them. There were also taverns and inns," or there's a word missing there. "And perhaps he would have stayed at them at one time. He had the girl with him, and he insisted they move farther in toward the center of town."
Yeah.
So just that one little section in that sentence could use little love.
Right.
Super small thing, but the Dusky Rose, the paint is chipped and faded.
I know. You want more.
What is the color of the faded paint? I just want the color. I just want to know what the color is. Okay. It's called the Dusky Rose, so I want a color.
Okay.
raucous noises spilled out the glassless windows. Dugan turned his scrutinous gaze from the inn to Hardwin. Hardwin grinned and looked sideways at Dugan's expression, which clearly demanded an explanation. I like this exchange between Dugan and Hardwin here, because it's kind of like that whole thing of like, old and seasoned, young and inexperienced, where you kind of get that dynamic going between the two here, where he's like, "Money attracts attention," Hardwin said. "It's best we keep a low profile." "Huh. Here I thought you already gone through your inheritance." Hardwin clapped the ranger on the shoulder. "Don't worry. I stayed here a long time ago. This is a place people will mind their own business. It could be rough, but safe enough for the girl and not so dangerous as a dockyard, and the beds and food were decent." Dugan's face was doubtful as they climbed the steps and he stepped over a broken board. Was that before the apocalypse? So yeah, there's some good dialogue exchanges between these two characters. I think they play well together. 119, there's a sentence in the second paragraph, needs a little love. I think it's just missing a word or two.
Okay.
Minor edit going down the page. Didn't really have a whole lot on that page. 120. Didn't have a whole lot on this page. Had a suggestion. Let's see. She looked at the table, then at her fingers, and sniffed gingerly at them. Her nose wrinkled, and she flinched away as if her nose were stung. And I just put a suggestion in, flinched away as if the scent stung her nostrils.
Yeah, okay.
just kind of eliminating that repetition. And then we get another moment of levity with some Piper shenanigans. He brings her goat's milk with cinnamon, and she's all, what's this? Kind of has like a questioning look about her. And the men chuckled when the girl tilted her head back and she tried to look at the foam that had collected at the end of her nose, resulting in a cross-eyed look. Yeah, I like that little scene there. It was moment of levity amidst all the Hardwin and Dugan constantly getting kicked in the nuts, so to speak. 121. Some minor comments here and there. Didn't really have a whole lot on that page. 122. Didn't have a whole lot on this page either. I did have one word confusion possibility.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was maybe supposed to be stare or gaze.
Okay.
123. Just a couple little edits on this page. I thought it was good that the guards that come in with the new Southerner or the different Southerner. I liked that it was a different dude than the guy out at Randall John's place.
Why is that?
Because I think having more of a presence in, I'll say, the kingdom, in these provinces and the capital, definitely make the situation for Hardwin, Dugan, and Piper more desperate, because they have a higher percentage chance of running into these people more often if there's more of them around.
Okay.
So I liked that it was a different guy, just because it shows that there really are a lot of these dudes in this kingdom that are getting positions of power. So that in and of itself is kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah.
I imagine some people would see it that way. All right, 124. Yeah, so this the Southlander is a warden of the order. Act on the authority of the king and you will surrender yourselves to me. They definitely found a way to get a description of the three people on the lamb out to these outlying provinces. Or this is just kind of my thinking going on here. Did this Southerner like just show up in town? Was he like following them, but like didn't know he was following them until he got into town, and then got word of like, oh yeah, there was like two dudes and a little girl. And then he's like, oh God, we got to find them. Or like, are there like wanted posters up of like these three people?
Well, they've been creeping through the woods. I imagine word has gone out by horses and whatnot. They could probably spread the word that they're looking for these people who escaped the city.
Yeah, yeah. And I was, as far as timeline goes, I think it works, because I mean, they were in the woods for, I think it was like 2 days.
Yeah.
Basically 2 days. So that would have definitely been more than enough time for, you know, like dispatch riders or something to be sent out to like surrounding towns to alert, you know, the guards or whatever. So yeah, okay. All right. I thought this was funny. After they subdue the Southlander, which really didn't take much, definitely not the swordsman that the other Southlander was. At the height of its power, men and women inducted into the order were not just trained in war and diplomacy. They were apprenticed to blacksmiths, wood shapers, and jewelers. Only when they mastered their craft to the point of making their own talisman were they fully initiated. I like that we're getting a little bit more about the order here, because it's like, I feel I still don't really understand what this order was or is. I mean, I know it's like an order of, we'll just say...
Knights,
yeah. I was looking for that other word. Wardens.
Yeah, okay.
Knights and wardens. But beyond that, I mean, I really don't know much about, you know, Hardwin's training, like, you know, the stuff that he would have learned while in the order. And I think this is a good moment to kind of plug some of that in, because the paragraph starts with, it appears out, rank you, pretender. Hardwin growled and pulled the blade from the scabbard and lifted it as high as the low-ceilinged room would allow. Fancy Metal, which we don't have a name for yet, gleamed in the lamplight. There were gasps, tears, and even anger spreading throughout the inn. And then it goes into that little bit about the Order and the, you know, people in the Order. After the apocalypse, war and murder thinned out the ranks of the Order, and the talent was lost by many. The metal became rare, and Hardwin's like the last dude that knows how to like work with this metal. So I thought that was interesting as well. So he's like, he's kind of a last of his school, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't have a forge on his farm, did he?
It's true.
I mean, he doesn't need one. I was just wondering, because I didn't remember if he had one or not. But I kind of almost wonder if maybe he would, like, even if he's just doing, like, horseshoes or something for, you know, like, his neighbors, you know, just being neighborly or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, might be something to consider. All right, 125.
You can go a little faster if you need to.
Okay. Not much on this page. Little edits. And this is where we find out the Southlander is kind of a coward, because it's where Hardwin gets a little hands-on with him. And he's just like, don't touch me. 126. Didn't have a whole lot on this page. I did find a sentence that needs some attention. So, yeah. It's missing a word or...
Okay.
127. I like the addition of these two. Are they both elves, or is just the one an elf?
One's an elf.
I know they're both women. Okay. You have like the elf girl in the green cloak. Then you have like what I perceived as like her bodyguard, protector, hired sword, what have you, just like this like total like Amazonian warrior.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting duo to introduce into this scene and also into the company. And I like that the warrior woman is just like, nah, fuck these guys. and the elf is like, no, we should go with them. But that's because Piper, she sees something in Piper that she, especially from the song. And I love that Piper just starts playing a song and then she just starts singing like, you know, like it was meant to be, you know, like, oh yeah, we practiced this an hour ago. Here you go. But we didn't really. It's just, it seems that way. So yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed the introduction of these two characters, how they end up hitching their cart to Hardwin and Dugan's cart, at least for now anyway. We don't know where that's going to go. 128. Orc woman takes her duty to protect me seriously and is suspicious of all humans. Now, I totally did not get orc from the description of the large woman at all.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, really.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, like the hairstyle could definitely be orc, but it could also be mercenary as well. So, okay.
She's half orc.
Half orc. Okay. Okay.
I just typed orc woman in there because I hadn't thought of her name yet.
Okay, cool.
Somewhere further along, I thought of the name and I started calling her by the name. Sounds like another find and replace is in order.
Yup, got that right. Good luck. it'll either go really well or it'll be horrible, and you know, we'll have
pretty
to
sure it'll be awful.
We'll have to figure out what happened. But yeah, that's what I got, man. You have any questions for me?
It was pretty much the hot mess I expected it to be.
Yeah, fair enough.
Thanks for reading several extra pages beyond the Call of Duty.
Only for you, man. Anybody else, I'm throwing it in the trash.
Or in this case, delete. All right, no, I don't have much in the interest of time, since that was a long submission. We had a pretty long sidebar there in the beginning. I got to answer the question.
Yeah.
Are we Smoke? Who are we in Smoking the Bandit? I'm going to say I'm Bandit because I pretty much like to drive fast without any regard to my own or others' welfare.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. So that makes me Snowman. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I could live that Snowman life.
Yeah, Snowman's cool. Got a nice dog. What was the name of that dog?
It was a hound. I know that. It was a basset.
It was a hound dog. Yep.
Oh, I can't remember. I cannot remember. It's been a while.
Maybe we'll look that up during the break.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. It'll give fuel for another later sidebar.
That's the show for today. I'll try to... Actually, I've been a little bit behind on posting the manuscripts. I got to get on that, and which makes it easier to follow along with us if you're a subscriber. We are also, in a couple weeks, pretty soon, our last Bring Your Own Book podcast with Bypass Gemini will be... I just finished editing that, so that'll be going up soon. And our next book is Shipbreaker by Paolo Bacigalupi. We'll be recording that in a few weeks. So yeah, check out Bypass Gemini. You know what? Don't check out Bypass Gemini. Just listen to the podcast about it. Don't actually read it. But I like Bacigalupi, so I highly recommend reading this book, even though I haven't read it yet. But Steve had some good things to say about it so far.
I dig a lot of the language used for like setting in place. There's some rather poetic stylizations of word choice here and there, speckled throughout, and I get a really good idea of where I'm at with these characters and kind of what their surroundings are. And it's done with kind of a low custody where it's not just like totally spelled out for you, but you still get a really good, it conjures good imagery. There we go.
I really admire writing, and we saw a lot of this in The Road, that's simple, but really paints a good picture just because of the good word choices.
Yeah. I mean, this book really kind of is complimentary of that. So that's one thing I've enjoyed so far.
That's good. I'm gonna start this baby up this weekend, see how far I get.
Well, right on.
All right, man. I am pleased that every couple weeks, give me proof of life by logging in and talking writing books with me. And I hope that keeps happening.
Me too.
All right. Remember to social distance, everybody. And unless you're listening to this in the year 2025 and you have no idea what we're talking about, then just go lick a flagpole.
Here we are wasting away in Coronaville.
Oh, man.
Can't find my...
Stop doing that. What are you doing?
What?
You're the lead singer of a band. I know you got pipes.
Oh.
I want a heavy metal version of Margaritaville from your band.
All right. Looking for my hand sanitizer on a rope. On a rope. On a rope. Some would say there's a president to blame. But I know it's all his damn fault. Anyway, okay, I'm done.
All right. I'm going to hashtag it's Trump's fault, and we'll get all kinds of freaking people tuning in.
Any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
Showbiz!
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Check out our Bring Your Own Book podcast in addition to this one. Check out the Facebook page. Messaging us there is probably the best way to get a hold of us. Instead of a random comment on Patreon, patreon.com/Pacific Novel Project, where you probably found this, but maybe you saw it on Google Play too, because we're on the Google Play. And read Shipbreaker by Paolo Bacigalupi. I'm hoping you'll be pleased. I have high hopes for this. I'm not going to say you're going to be, because it always annoys me when people think something's going to be awesome before they see it, or say something's going to be awesome before they see it. So I'm not going to say this book's going to be awesome, but I really liked his last book, so I think it's going to be. And stay safe and remember to write on.
Or else.
Or else don't.